You know what's very interesting is we get the music and you listen to it and you like it. And then you start getting to know the people who make the music. And then when you receive an email and it says, Professor Dirk Silje, Associate Professor of Geography and Environmental Management at Potchefstroom Campus, then you see I speak in capital letters. Hello, Dirk, how are you doing?
Good in yourself. I thought I deleted that part.
No, given away in an email. It's called a signature. Oh, so that's your, yeah. What can I say?
But unfortunate.
To me, I love this thing. I mean, when you walk past someone in a mall, that you have got no idea what someone's gone through in life for them to be walking in the mall. So this is why I do interviews with interesting people like you. So you're going to firstly tell me all about yourself. Then we're going to get to your church, Duet Gemeente, where the music comes from, and the new music. So introduce yourself, the normal Dirk, the one that doesn't have a biography, the one at home who relaxes. Who's Dirk there?
Dirk is married to Charlotte, so yeah, and we've got two daughters, and I'm firstly a family man, so just love my family, love my kids. Grew up in Potchefstroom, went to school here, and then went on to study at university, and I'm still here, so I'm a potcher as you get. I think grew up, born, everything, and still around. So
the eternal academic. So what do you enjoy about your field? I mean, why get involved in anything geography? I failed geography at school, so I don't understand.
Yeah, so it's one of those interesting stories that I never thought I would end up where I did. So didn't really know what I was going to study, and ended up studying town and regional planning, actually. And one of the modules in there was geography. And I really just fell in love with the subject. And from there, the rest is history, as they say. So I just love it. It's we work a lot in the conservation space these days, in our protected areas and our protected environments. So that's where we apply what we do. And it's really just a fun environment to be in, and an interesting environment to work in.
So what do you actually teach the students? Is it all about where the rivers are, or do you teach them environmental sensitivity? What is it that you want them to walk out with when they're done with your course?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we want to teach students is to be aware of the environment. So geography is all about, you know, location and what's around us and how things interact with one another. So that's the groundwork, I would say. And then we try to apply it in different areas. So for us, we focus a lot actually on environmental management, environmental sensitivities, and how human activities are actually impacting the environment and how we should better manage those activities and the way that we engage with the environment. So that's really what we would like our students to be able to do, to appreciate the relationship that we have with our physical environment and how we can manage that in a sustainable manner.
I'm always fascinated in a country like ours, you know, whether there is a political will even to protect this stuff, or is it dependent more on individuals who've got a heart for this who make it work in our country?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely both. We always say we are lucky in South Africa to have really good environmental legislation. So we've got good laws in place and things to manage with, but the implementation of those laws will often be the issue that you come across. Mm-hmm. But we've got real good champions out there, and especially in the, you know, in the field of let's use conservation as an example. There's a lot of individuals that's doing quite a lot, and you know, kind of stretching the limits a bit in certain areas. So it's definitely a mix of both. The legal stuff gives them the tools to do what they want to do or need to do. But yeah. The political will is there in some cases, but not always. And there we count on the individuals to take the lead. Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the church, because I heard about Duet Gemeente quite a few years ago, because obviously that's where Retief Burger comes from. So I know they've got a passion for music, and it seems that you still do, because the music is still flowing from the congregation. Is that something that you enjoy a lot, or is it just because students like new stuff?
No, it's really a passion, I would say. And it's something that, that the Lord's been stirring in our hearts for quite a while. I always say we've been really blessed at Duet with good musicians always, like since competitive time. I think there's never been a time that we didn't have enough teams to lead worship and things like that. So there's always been something on our church in terms of that. And it's been through the last, let's say, 3 or so years that something really started to stir again to release the new sound for our congregation and to firstly write for our church what is the Lord busy with in duet and write from that place and give our congregation the words to sing around the things that he is busy talking to us about. So that's really where it started again. And yeah, that's kind of where we're at now.
Is duet still mostly a student congregation or not?
No, so we still have Kruispunt, which is the student congregation. And then we have the full Wasseness, which is
the adults,
the adults, the morning services. So that's Duet, and Kruispunt is just one of our ministries, but it's part of the Duet family. And then we also have the teens, and we have quite a large children ministry, actually, with a big focus on that as well.
The reason I was asking is when you've got younger musicians, you know, when you've got musicians who are interested in music that is happening currently all over the world, because what happens is when you've got older congregations, they get stuck in a style that they like and that they know and they have known for quite a while, and they're not really interested to be curious about what God is doing next, you know. And I find many times when you've got younger musicians that they're up to date with, they talk to one another. Did you hear this? This is a nice sound. That kind of thing. There's a curiosity and a fascination, and God can do new things. If you're saying there's a new sound that comes out of duet, are you experiencing something like this?
Yeah, so I must say, I think there's a definite difference between what we do in the evening services versus the morning services. So the approach does differ a bit. We'll generally be more Afrikaans in the morning service, and you know, more newer and English songs in the evening services. But I think it's kind of a bit of a cross pollination as well. So a lot of the younger musicians also serve in the mornings, and they bring that flavor, you know, along. So I must say, our congregation is willing to move with us. You know, if we introduce something new and fresh, yeah, they usually take it. like the new songs, let's say Maverick Music. You know,
yeah.
I was skeptical. A song like I Thank God. Will they respond to this? And I was amazed to see them just going after that. So I think it's beneficial to have the younger people around.
No, for sure. And also, you know what? Because there is a balance. Because you can't actually get lost in worship on a brand new song. It takes a while for a song to land in the heart of the church enough that they can close their eyes, get lost, and actually connect with God, which is where the older songs definitely have a place in a worship set. But then there are songs that connect in a new way in people's hearts, and they need the chance to get to that good and solid place that the old songs have.
That's true, yeah. And sometimes a new song, you know, in a season, it just carries something that I think the Lord sometimes is busy with. And then we want to do that new song and have it in there. But it's very true what you say, you know, if a song resonates with someone, just helps so much the more. So we've started to, for instance, have playlists on the different sharing platforms like YouTube Music and Spotify, and we share that with the congregation so that they can get to know the songs, and especially the new ones, before we introduce it in a service, that they can at least spend some time listening in it on their own time.
Yeah.
And getting used to it, yeah.
But you're also, because you're involved in worship, it does limit you that the songs can't get too intricate, you know, because musicians, they like trying out intricate things, intricate chords, intricate, you know, melodies, and they don't want to repeat something, and because they don't want to repeat, it gets all more complicated and complicated. But worship, once again, the more complicated it gets, the less the chance for people to get lost in it.
Yeah, and along with that, I think a lot of the modern songs, if you look at the vocal range of many of those songs, the melody, it becomes so, you know, it's really low and really high.
It's hard to sing.
That's often a challenge, yeah. So that's been a journey for us over the last few years to really, you know, try to pay attention to that. Some of the songs is really just difficult. People can't sing it,
Yeah.
or no matter where, at which key you use. So we've really been on a journey with that as well, trying to get the songs in ranges where people can engage. Because at the end of the day, we want to serve the congregation, right? And we want to create a space where they can engage in worship. And we should consider things like that. You know, some songs are really there are those songs that are really just so difficult to engage with as a congregation, and then we have to say maybe this is not the best song to have in a worship set. So yeah, it's always a challenge.
And there is a bit of humility in that. I mean, because you're there in the worship
Definitely.
team, because you can sing, so you want to have some vocal gymnastics because you enjoy it, and maybe it's part of your experience as a worship, but you have to lay down that to be able to simplify it
Exactly.
and get out of the way so that the congregation can worship in spite of your talent.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's always dying to oneself. What a fun
Die.
journey.
We always laugh, Galatians 2:20. It's no longer me who lives, or Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
Die to yourself, die. But the other fun part, obviously, of any kind of music, if you want to create something new, is that there has to be something unique about it. I mean, that's how Hillsong and Integrity, and now if it's Maverick or is it or be, whoever it is who makes the music at the moment, there's something unique that catches the ear of the globe, nah? So
Yes,
are you
yeah.
looking for that beautiful, unique spot for duet, or is that not something that's a high priority?
Yeah, so that's a very good question, and one that's actually difficult to answer, because I wouldn't say, you know, our first focus is that new sound in terms of, you know, let's call it instrumentation or arrangement or whatever the case may be. I think for us, when I say new sound, it's really it's more at a level of what is it that the Lord is releasing amongst us for our congregation, and that's probably not just the music itself, but it's what that song carries, what it speaks to. So yeah, obviously in that you try to produce something that is nice to listen to, and that is perhaps, you know, aligned with what some of the current tastes are, but it's not just that.
Yeah. So the song, the new song that you're releasing, is called Kom en Loof Hom.
Yes.
And I found that even though it's very possible to sing a worship song and never actually connect with God, it is special to connect with a God that you know when you worship, isn't
Yes.
it? So I'd like to
Yeah, it
first,
is.
before we get into the song itself, I am curious about how did you get saved?
Oh, so I grew up in a, well, in a Christian home, but I really got to know Jesus only during university. So around my second year, I realized, you know, I was doing all the good stuff and right stuff, but I didn't know him. I wasn't in relationship with him, and that's where my journey started. And yeah, he just pulled me closer, and I my life changed. I think it was around my second year, if I have to put a date on it, that things really started to change. And I got baptized soon after that, and yeah, and then from there it was just a whole different journey. I'm getting to know him as a father, you know, being in a relationship with him, being able to connect with him, share my heart with him. So yeah, that's in short what my story looks like.
No, I was thinking because I have a friend and his son was there at Potch as well. And he'd
Yes.
also grown up in a Christian home, but it gets challenged when you become a student and every single competition has got alcohol as a prize, you know, and the whole culture
Yes.
around you says, yay, I'm out of the house. To get saved and to actually find Jesus is a miracle every single time, isn't it? It doesn't matter how you grew up,
Amen.
the
That's
world
true.
challenges what you think you believe.
Yeah, no, that is so true.
So what
Every
went right?
salvation is
Why
a
did you
miracle.
find him there?
Well, all the glory to him. It's really just, I always tell people, I don't know, there was always a grace on my life, in the sense he kind of protected me from a lot of those bad stuff. And I can't say why. I just never had the, you know, the need for things like alcohol and things like that. And yeah, he just really pulled me closer. You know, it's his goodness that leads us to redemption. So I can just say, you know, all the glory to him. And I was really blessed to be introduced to people that really knew him and followed him, with all their hearts, you know, and the whole. To see at that stage of my life, to see, well, there's something more here. that I'm missing. And yeah, it's the testimonies of Jesus through other people that got me to know him.
And even now, I'm sure the community around you makes a huge difference to be surrounded with people who love Jesus, who are passionate Absolutely. About his word, it's serious about his word in a world that is literally standing against you to do that. There's wisdom in many advisors. It does make a difference, the community that you operate in, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I was just telling my wife last week, we have friends that's going through a difficult time, but they're not currently in a close community. And I told her, I don't know, it must be so difficult, you know, to face these things without those people around you, you know, that you can depend on. So I think that's one of the things I'm, you know, that's so valuable to me in my personal life, is just the community that's in our church and that I'm surrounded with, you know, people that you can really depend on and people that really love Jesus, first of all. So yeah, it's really valuable. We can't do life on our own. We need church. We need the body. We need community.
Yeah. There's one extra thing I want to ask you before we get to the song. It's something that I noticed. You obviously have the luxury of many teams that can lead the worship. So when you go through a hard time yourself, because we feel that because we're in leadership and you're in the worship team, you have to keep on performing and keep on bringing the goods. But we all go through hard times, and in many of the congregations, people who are in ministry don't have the luxury of saying, I need some time out. Is there a deliberate system or an openness about something like that, that when you're weak, you've got the opportunity to stand back and say, just for a while, give me a break?
Most definitely, yeah. So one of our values is that, you know, your relationship comes first, and then your family as well. So, you know, if things aren't right at home, and things aren't in place in your own relationship, you need to take time and just focus on that. So that's the first priority always. So we've had times when some of our members asked to just be released for a while. We have one of our drummers, for instance, the beginning of the year, asked, he just wants to step down for a few months. He just feels he needs to focus on his relationship. He's lost track of a few things, and yeah, so we just try to give him that space, and he's now coming back next month. So yeah, I think that is important, you know, to look after one another in that sense, and ensure that, you know, the first priority is always in place, and that is to really just be in love with Jesus, and if things are distracting from that, I think we need to help each other in that regard.
Yeah, even if it's hard to actually acknowledge that you need
yes.
it. Yes.
Okay, let's get to learn to do that.
Yeah, we do. And people around us need to be approachable so that we
can do that.
But it's hard work to keep these masks on. Okay, so the song we're listening to is Duet Gemeente Potchefstroom. They've released a song, Kom in Loofhom. We're going to listen to the song. But before we do, if people want to connect with you guys and with your ministry and not miss future music, where do they connect with you?
So largely our Facebook page, Duet Online, and then we've got a YouTube channel as well with the same name, Duet Online. So that's mostly where we, you know, communicate and also release our music.
Just Duet, is that all we look for?
Yeah, Duet, rather go Duet Gemeente. That would be safer.
Okay, Duet Gemeente.
I haven't tested it recently, so.
Let's go search for them. Googleer till we find them. Kom in Loofhom. Tell me about the song. We're going to listen to the song, but I want us to hear what you mean for us to hear. So what is that message so that we can do that?
Yeah, so the song was birthed out of a journey we as a congregation had at the end of last year. So the eldership and our leaders really started to talk about praise, you know, praising God, and praise as a weapon, and what praise is, and that the scripture says we enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise, and to praise him in all circumstances. You know, there's that it's a famous story that I think we all know in 2 Chronicles. I think it's around 2 Chronicles 20, where King Jehoshaphat hears there's an army attacking them, and his reaction is to turn to God, and they pray and they fast, and the Lord tells them, don't worry, I'll fight this battle for you, and they respond in worship. But then they still go to this battle, so they still pitch, but something changed they shifted their attention from the battle to God, and they, as they go, they're worshiping and they're putting the musicians in front, and they're just praising God, and there's a victory. So there was something around that that started to stir, you know, in our community to really, you know, focus on Him and to give Him the praise that is so worthy to receive, regardless of our circumstances and what might be happening around us. And as a community, we really had some challenges in our community, bad stuff that happened. And it was during this time that it really became real. You know, it was almost a choice, you know, put in front of us. Are you going to choose to focus? You don't understand why these things are happening. Why is this hurt here? But are you going to choose to focus on that, or are you going to choose to focus on Him? So there was really a revelation, I think, amongst us about the importance of praising Him through our storms, because He is worthy. So that's kind of where the song was birthed, and to really express our praise to Him.